I'll be reading from Proverbs 14. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people.
Good morning.
Happy birthday, America. It's Independence Day tomorrow, commemorating the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And as you know, there was quite a struggle after that, bringing our nation really to its birth. And we continue to struggle for freedom and liberty and continue to be a part of that. But it's a great time to celebrate. So I hope that you will celebrate tomorrow and enjoy being with family. But remember, this is about the celebration of our nation. And tonight, after our evening service at 6 o'clock, we will gather at the home of Kathy Mathis for desserts and fireworks. And everyone is invited for that. So invite friends and family. It's always a good time. You're welcome to bring some desserts. Homemade ice cream is certainly acceptable and highly encouraged if you want to bring that. And we'll have fireworks about dark. So come and take part in that. 2 weeks from yesterday will be our community day that we had last year with great success. And I know, Nate, I'm taking some of your announcements here. So, but I'm going to do that. You can preach when I get through. How's that? But it will be our community day. It starts at 5, goes from about 5 till 8 o'clock. We'll have food. We're going to have music. Chuck Mullins and his group will be here. I believe, Jim, your brother's coming back with ponies and horses and carriages. We're going to have snow cones and funnel cakes and lots of good fellowship. So invite folks. And we're something we're doing kind of special. And tonight, some of you may help us over at Kathy's. We've got a list of some folks that attended the Milton School, and we want to try to get word out to them because we want to kind of have a little reunion for those who attended the Milton School. And so we're going to send out a special invitation and try to get that word out to them. Think that that will be enjoyable. But put that out on your Facebook pages and among your friends and family to join us for that. Then the next day, 2 weeks from today, we'll start our Vacation Bible School. It will be 7 o'clock Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 6 o'clock on Sunday night. We'll have classes for all ages. Tony Holt will be our adult teacher. And so come and participate in that and invite your friends, both young and old, to be a part of our Vacation Bible School. That will be a good time that we can be together and study God's Word together and fellowship and reach out into our community. So I hope that you will be a part of that. So busy, busy days coming ahead. And we'll have tents set up for community day. So it'll be a good time. There'll be lots of things you can do to help. And the main thing is be here and invite others to come. I want us to talk today about our nation, but from the perspective of what's our role? What's our place? What's our part as individuals? And I'm talking about from a Christian perspective. What difference do you and I make? Because we look back in history at men and women and groups that have made a significant difference, impact in our country. I will remind you, because sometimes when we look back historically at events, everything seemed like it ran smoothly, quickly, and civilly. And that's not necessarily the truth about our history. And I don't mean that in a revisionist way or in a bad way, but sometimes we look in our times and say, people didn't used to act this way. Everybody got along. All of the founding fathers did not love each other. You need to understand that. They had real personality conflicts. They had real vision differences, but they worked together to resolve them. We did not have a constitution on July the 4th of 1776. In fact, we just declare independence. We're going to fight a war. When that war, it takes us over 11 years to get the Constitution. Took a lot of back and forth and finagling to get to a Constitution. So lots of those things. And then our country has ebbed and flowed in the past. And so certainly we're at a time of crossroads and change and very rapid change. So what's our place in that? Well, at least one of the underpinnings for this morning's lesson that I want us to remember and I want us to think about is the passage that Houston read for us. Because I believe this passage, this wisdom from the wise man Solomon is true. It was true of his time. It is true today. And I'll quote King James, if you will. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That righteousness exalts a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. It's not just important that we be righteous as people of the kingdom, but that righteousness be a part of our nation. Because nations are exalted when they live godly in a godly way. Because Romans 13, Paul makes it abundantly clear that all authorities, all governments and authorities, rulers, are in power because God has put them there. Now, I've shared that with you before, and you might go, but there are some governments, certainly some individual rulers, but whole systems that seem completely ungodly. And I don't argue that. But Paul's comment was made, Paul's letter was written to those who were under Roman rule. Was the Roman government, now while they were extremely influential in the world and did lots of things right, they were not a Christian nation, especially at the time Paul writes. Now we know Christianity does become part of their religion in the time of Constantine and after, but they are polytheistic. They are brutal. They are immoral. But Paul says that government is there because God allows it to be there. And so we should respect that, but also what should we do? As Christians, we should pray for those who are in power, for those who lead, for those who rule. And so the first thing that we should do is remember that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. We need to be prayerful for our nation and for those who lead. We ought to pray for them, whether we always agree or ever agree. That's a whole nother discussion. And if I wanted to, as Paul did, talking about the resurrection, divided the Sadducees and the Pharisees, I could probably make a few comments and we could have a pretty lively discussion. Certainly in the foyer after church and maybe right now because Josh is here. I mean, it might just come on out while we're here. But whether we agree or disagree, whether that be on the national scene or the local scene, we ought to be prayerful for those who lead at whatever level. Prayerful for them, for the wisdom, for the way that they lead, and for as much as anything that we might be able to live quiet lives, free lives from oppression, that we might be able to serve God and care for our families. We need to be prayerful about those things. It's not by accident that we have the lighthouse shining throughout this lesson. Because I want to think about righteousness and I want to think about us being a lighthouse as individuals and as a group. And I want to talk about that for a moment this morning. About what does it mean for us to be lighthouse? One, we need to be prayerful for our nation, for our government, and for its leaders. Make that a regular part of our prayer life. I was at Franklin Road last week for their Patriotic Sunday. And they made it abundantly clear by saying it several times that for those of you, because there were elected officials there and there were candidates there, but for those of you who serve in elective office, we pray regularly for you by name. That's part of what they do is regularly pray by name for those of us who serve. We ought to be prayerful in the same way about that because sometimes we get busy, we get frustrated, but do we pray about it? And then secondly, if righteousness exalts a nation, then you and I should be living righteous lives, right? Now, should we be about teaching righteousness to our whole culture about what God wants? Absolutely. But where does it begin? At home, right? in our homes, in our congregation, in our community, and then it spreads. Are we living lives of righteousness? Because by doing that, we exalt our nation. You can be frustrated at the unrighteousness that's around us, and we're going to talk about, I think we can make a difference in that, but the first and foremost, it's about making a difference in my life, in my home, in this church, and in our community. Because we can really have an impact there, can't we? We can make a difference. Because remember when there is a discussion Abraham has about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember that discussion? And so there becomes, well, what if I can find some righteous? You know, what if I can find some righteous people? And the numbers get extremely low. And God says, yes, if we can just find a few righteous, I'll spare them for the sake of the righteous. So our being righteous and people of God in our community has an impact on the whole community. We mentioned in class and we talked about it in our prayer this morning, and it's an important one. We're blessed. There's no way to deny that we are abundantly blessed. God has blessed our nation. He has certainly blessed our part of the world. We live in a great place. And I know everybody kind of likes home, but it's hard to beat right here. And it's not just because it's a beautiful part of the world, and it is. But the people here are wonderful. We share together, get along well. Sheila, we talk to each other. We're friendly to each other. Those are things that are important. Our community responds to needs. We are a benevolent, caring community that lives pretty godly lives as a general rule. It's a great place to be. We live in a time with great security, safety, freedom, health care, food in abundance, warm clothing and shelter. Just think about how comfortable we really are. How comfortable we are. You know, and that has been fairly recent, although we have been blessed as a culture for some time. But my dad will still tell the story of waking up sometimes in the morning with snow on the foot of his bed. Not because he was sleeping outside, but it blew in through a crack or around the window. As I've shared with you before, there's been a time or two that mine and Carrie's bedroom was really cold, but we never had snow on it. It's a whole other story. It gets a little cold in there every now and then. Again, but that's a whole, has very little to do with the temperature of the house. But to be able to go turn a thermostat on, like we come in now, how many of you used to have to build a fire? And now we don't even have to come in and heat this building. We've got thermostats that we just tell it what day and what time we wanted a certain temperature. And when we get here, it's there. Is that the most important thing in the world? It's really not. But we almost take that for granted now, don't we? Almost take that for granted. We have been blessed physically. We have been blessed spiritually. Our families have been blessed, and we need to be thankful for that because God has blessed us, and I think it's because of righteousness. It's because of righteousness. And we need to continue to be thankful for God and live that way. And we need to be a lighthouse. We need to be a lighthouse in our world and our community. What does a lighthouse do? Besides, they look pretty, and they're interesting to go visit, aren't they? But you know, a lighthouse lets those ships know where they are as they move along a coast. They can get an idea how far off the coast they are, and then they know moving up the coast from lighthouse to lighthouse exactly what they are. Now, are they as important today as they used to be? No, because now ships have GPS, right? But when you didn't have GPS, it's just like maps. They were handy. I still like a map, but I don't even have to plug it in my phone. I just tell Siri, get me driving directions to. And then Siri gets me driving directions and begins to talk to me and tell me where I've gone wrong. And so I call her B. But before you had GPS, that lighthouse told you where you were as you went up and down the coast. And if you were lost and you saw a lighthouse, what did you know? You were getting close to land. You could figure out where you were. And every lighthouse has a signature based on color or on the length of how the light moves. And so folks would have a book, or they would know, because, you know, if you travel something, you would know, well, I'm just moving from lighthouse to lighthouse. But if you'd gotten lost or disoriented, you could look at that lighthouse and its signature, and you could know where you were, what lighthouse that is, where it was located. Man, can you imagine being lost or in a fog or in a storm and all of a sudden catching a glimpse of the lighthouse? I can just imagine the relief through the years that sailors have received when they were able to get a glimpse of the lighthouse. As individuals dealing with the struggles of life, as our culture goes through upheaval and change, as our nation faces storms, it's important as God's people that we be a lighthouse, that we point direction, that we let people know where they are and where foundation is, that we bring comfort to those in the storms. That's a role you and I have in our culture, to be light. That's what we've been called to be. Let's read again from Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this is what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. What? You're the light of what? You are the world's light. We are the world's light. God has called us to be a lighthouse for the world. He has called us to come in and make a difference, to point direction, to lead people out of the darkness, to shine truth. That's what light does, doesn't it? Lets us see clearly, to see truth. And Jesus says, and He's not talking to the powers of the world. He's not saying this to Caesar. He's not saying this to the city of Rome or to the city of Athens or to some great power, but to these people living in the Galilee. Common people in the Galilee, and Jesus says, you are the world's light. You have been called to be a light to the world, to give direction. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Thank you. Glorify your Father in heaven. What have we been called to be? Light. Light to the world, reflecting God's light. I don't have a picture of this, but what does the moon do? Does the moon illuminate light? Does it have a light source within itself? It doesn't. It does not. The moon reflects the light from the sun. The sun generates the light and the moon reflects it. We've really been called to be like the moon, to reflect the light of God, that others will see God's light in us and then know and glorify God. We've been called to be light and not to hide our light. We sang with the little ones, not to hide it under a bushel, not to hide it, but to let it shine. So that the world can see, so that our culture, that our nation can see God's people. and that righteousness exalts. And it brings about peace and the blessings of God. And when it seems like everything around us is in turmoil and the storms are raging, that God's people are a constant lighthouse, are a constant source of stability and direction and comfort. And that we make a difference in the storms. That we make a difference in the direction that our nation decides to travel in. It's a pretty large responsibility, isn't it? It's a pretty large responsibility to keep the light burning. To make sure that the lighthouse is lit. That the flame doesn't go out. Because what happens? What happens if the lighthouse goes out? No one can know where they are. No one can know where they are. They can't get direction. They don't know depth. If the lighthouse goes out, it would be scary. It would be scary. And so if we cease to be what God has called us to be, if we have ceased to be the light to the world, if we let our light be hidden, or if we let our light be blown out, if we become afraid to be what God has called us to be, not only have we denied God Himself, but we have doomed our culture. We have doomed our world. We have doomed our nation. Because what was the fundamental? What was the rock we're going to build on today? That righteousness exalteth the nation and sin is a reproach to any people. If we're not living and reflecting the righteousness of God, we have doomed our country. But what happens when all of us shine our lights? I've been humming all morning the song. I woke up with it on my mind in preparing for this morning's lesson. Brighten the corner. Where you are. Right? What if we brighten the corner where we are? And everybody does that. Because do you feel sometimes powerless to make a change? We do. I feel powerless. Decisions are made somewhere beyond me. This thing has gotten out of hand. I'm frustrated about direction. But what if I come back to saying, here and now, I'm going to make a difference in my corner of the world. I'm going to light the light. I'm going to light the light and make a difference. And then what if not only do I shine my light, but I say, I'm going to help light the flame of righteousness in the lives of those who are around me. It's biblical. What did Paul say to Timothy? Rekindle the flame that's in you, right? Fan it into flames. If we encourage each other and we teach others the righteousness of God, what a great flame we can be. Because whose light is it? It's just reflecting the light of God. It's just reflecting the light of God. God has already blazed the trail in the life of Jesus. And He calls us to walk in His steps and reflect His light. You and I are called individually and certainly as the people of God to be a light to the world. Our world needs us today in great ways. Our world needs to know the North Star. It needs direction. It needs light. It needs a lighthouse. And you and I can be that. And that's what God has called us to. So I encourage us on this celebration of Independence Day to remember that righteousness exalts a nation and that sin is a reproach to any people. And so we're going to stand as flames for righteousness in our culture. We can only do that by reflecting the light of God and being filled with His Spirit. For those of you who are not Christians today and believe that Jesus is God's Son who died on the cross, who gave His life that we might be forgiven of our sins and that we might have a relationship with God, that we might be forgiven, that we might be filled with the Spirit of God, we would encourage you to come. For those of us who are Christians, maybe you need to come today confessing sin. Maybe you need to come for special prayers of about a burden or a trouble that you have in your life or a need that you have or something you need to celebrate. If you need to come today, won't you do that while we stand and sing?